Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. During the 1968-69 school year, an all-black high school in Columbus won both basketball and baseball state championships. It was unprecedented. It's still unprecedented. It was the first time any team had accomplished such a feat, let alone during a season marked by civil disobedience, campus protests, the war in Vietnam, violence, assassinations, and more. Will Haygood's book, Tigerland, 1968-1969, A City Divided, A Nation Torn Apart, and A Magical Season of Healing, tells the story about the remarkable East High School Tigers. Will Haygood joins us now. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Where were you in 1968-69?
My family had just moved to the east side of the city from the north side. So I was on the east side of the city. And I went to Monroe Junior High School, which was also all black and segregated. So I was right there on the east side when there were uprisings and rebellion.
Were you headed to East High?
Yes.
Okay. One of the things, there's an overarching thing in this story and these stories, because there's just many stories in this one book. And that is how relevant these teams were to the whole city, to the whole region. How people, this was a big deal to be on these teams.
Yes, it was. And, there was a wide landscape that East High School took in because the city would not build another high school in that part of town. And so East, from its history, had a great, great history of pride. There were musicians who went to East. There were athletes who went to the NFL who went to East. And so it was, in a way, like a HBCU, like a historically black college.
Yeah.
It really was like the central focus point. You had parents who came up in segregation, never got their names in newspapers for achieving things. And now here they have children who are at East who are doing well, and there's a local community black newspaper, the Call and Post, and they could see their family name in the paper throughout the whole school year. That must have emitted enormous pride within parents. It was a whole black world on the east side of the city.
They were packing they went to the Ohio State campus for a lot of their games because so many people traveled in to see them. 3,000 people in some of those games.
Yes. Their games were played at the State Fairgrounds.
At the State Fairgrounds, yes.
At the State Fairgrounds.
Right, right.
And that was brilliant, a brilliant move on the part of Jack Gibbs, who was the first black high school principal in this city. Jack Gibbs knew he had a small gymnasium, and so he had went to OSU, and he went to OSU leadership at the time and said, "Hey, can my school kids sell hot dogs at the football games? Because we need to raise money so we can pay the extra fees to play at the Fairgrounds Coliseum."
Uh-huh.
And OSU said yes. And so that was brilliant that Jack Gibbs had knew he needed money in the school kitty so that he could pay so that his team could play at the Fairgrounds Coliseum. And it was rare. Usually a team made it to the Coliseum during the state tournament time.
Right. This
but
was
they
just
played
for regular season.
During the season. Exactly right, because they were a show. They were a marquee attraction in this city.
So you've mentioned Jack Gibbs. We have a lot more to talk about when it comes to Jack Gibbs. There's also the coach, Bob Hart. Huge. Tell us, give me a little thumbnail of where he came from and how he ended up there. He's white.
Yeah, he's white. born here in the city, went to South High School, and then went to Ohio Wesleyan. His college years were interrupted by World War II. Mm-hmm. He goes overseas. He lands at Normandy with the soldiers. He's socially conscious about his surroundings.
And it triggered something in him.
Yes. He did not like the way that black soldiers were treated during the war. And after the war, when he gets back to college, he writes his senior thesis on the unfair treatment of the black soldier in World War II. Just amazing when his daughter, Bobby, showed me that paper. I said, oh, my goodness, this is the key to his life.
Right.
He loved being on the East Side. He loved these black kids and watching them achieve and strive. And so he was in his element. Even when there were other people who told him that he shouldn't spend his career at East High,
he could have done better.
Yes, yes. But he wanted to be there. And look at what he did. He achieved great things.
We're talking about the fortunes of this in the school year of 1968-1969 of East High School in Columbus. My guest is journalist Will Haygood. He's also a native of Columbus. He's written his new book. It comes out tomorrow. Tigerland, in 1968-1969, a city divided, a nation torn apart, and a magical season of healing. That was a rough school year. Those kids were returning to school with a lot of sadness in their hearts and not a little bit of rebellion.
Yes, yes. Many of these students at East in 1968-69 school year had seen Martin Luther King Jr. march in this city up and down Broad Street, up and down Long Street, when they were little kids mm-hmm. in the fourth and fifth grade. So to have the moral leader of America, of black America especially, to have him gunned down right as they're going into the summer of 68 and then back to school had to be earth shattering. And because all of these families had photographs of three people at that time in their homes, John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King Jr., and Robert F. Kennedy. And all three of them had been taken by crazed murdering gunmen. And that had to just lay an extra dose of fear that the country was unraveling.
What a way to start out a school year. Let's talk a little bit about the players now. Let's set the scene. We have coming up, we're going to have Ed Ratliff, former baseball and basketball star for East High School
yes.
from the 1968-69 season, and also Ernest Locke, former baseball player for East High School from that season. Tell us about Ed Ratliff.
He was just an astonishing two-sport athlete. He went to Champion Junior High. His favorite sport was baseball.
Right.
His hero was number 42, Mr. Jackie Robinson. But when he got to East, it really was apparent that he was going to excel at both sports. And he started on both teams ever since his first year. And he really was the golden boy of that golden year. He went to Long Beach State. He became a first-team college All-American. He played on the 1972 U.S. Olympic men's basketball team, and he played many years with the NBA's Houston Rockets. He's just an astonishing athlete.
Why not Ohio State, right in his backyard?
Yes. Ohio State did not execute enough of an effort to grab him. And there was a half-hearted attempt late in the game to recruit him, but he knew it was half-hearted, and so he decided to leave town. And it was a huge loss, I mean, for the team here.
For the fans.
For the fans, yes. I mean, these, you know, there were probably three players on that, maybe four players on that East High team who could have played and started at Ohio State. Fred Taylor was the basketball coach, and he just never put forth an effort to grab these players.
Tell us about Ed Ratliff.
Very nice guy, very humble. Very humble. He really, even when he was 15, many people told me, who I've talked to about him, that he would act like a grown man then.
Yeah.
He knew after the games, one of the first things he would do is he would go find the other members of the team who they had just vanquished by 40 points, and he would tell them, hey, this isn't the end of the world. Things are going to be okay. You all have a fine team, and I wish you well. I mean, and some of the other players would say, you know, this,
what do you
sort of think to themselves, hey, Ed, man, we just ruined those guys, and let's leave it at that. But no. Ed Ratliff wanted his team members to feel that we're going to walk out of this gymnasium with class. He just had that innate grace when he was 14, 15, 16 years old. He just had it. And it's followed him
thing.
His whole life. It is a very special thing.
My guest is author, journalist Will Haygood. He's written many nonfiction books about the people of the 20th century that have mattered the most to him and probably to much of society. Thurgood Marshall of the U.S. Supreme Court. You know, it just goes on and on. And he's also written about his hometown of Columbus. And you've heard him on the show many times. He's with us in the studio. If you have a question or comment for Will Haygood, we're talking about his new book. It's called Tigerland, 1968-1969, A City Divided, A Nation Torn Apart, and A Magical Season of Healing. Coming up, we're going to hear from Ernest Locke, former baseball player for East High School during that momentous year, and also Ed Ratliff, former baseball and basketball player for East High School when they won the state championships in both sports that year. So stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking with journalist and author Will Haygood about his new book. It's called Tigerland, 1968-1969, A City Divided, A Nation Torn Apart, and A Magical Season of Healing. The book tells the story of the East High School Tigers, how the players and coaches worked together to win both basketball and baseball state championships that year. Still with us is award-winning author and journalist and Columbus native, Will Haygood. Will, thanks again for joining us.
Great to be here.
And joining us now are East High School graduates and key players on those teams, East High School baseball alum Ernest Locke. Welcome to the show, Mr. Locke.
Thank you.
And by phone, former baseball and basketball player for East High School, Ed Ratliff. Welcome to the show, Ed Ratliff.
Hello, thank you.
Ernest Lack, let's start with you. What's your most vivid memory of that year? A million memories?
More than a million memories. It's really, really hard to say. The camaraderie and this probably stands out most in my mind, the camaraderie that we had, and is what I remember mostly about those time periods. And it was carefree and the camaraderie basically kept you focused on what you had to do in the future and gave you discipline and stuff. That's what I remember most about it.
Ed Ratliff, what about you?
Well, basketball, I assumed that we were going to win because of the team we had, and we won the year before in 68. But I think for me, it was a surprise for our baseball team. We had good teams, but we never thought at any time we'd win the state. And as the games went on, we kept getting better and better, and things just having to fall into place. When that happens, you know, you just kind of ride the wave and take as long as you can take it. And we did that and ended up winning it all.
You know, Ernie Lack just said that the camaraderie and that the sense of being carefree, and actually, you know, 68, 69 was anything but a carefree time. Were you aware of those larger societal pressures, Ernest Lack?
Oh, absolutely. We, you know, lived them every day. But
right.
I mentioned carefree and that they weren't the most important things on our mind. You know, playing baseball, going to practice was first and foremost, as opposed to the politics that was going on during those time periods. And that's why I used the term carefree.
Mm-hmm. You it was something of a safe zone in the high school.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And, absolutely. You know, Ed Ratliff, let's talk a little bit about Jack Gibbs, the principal at the time, so critical to the atmosphere that existed in that high school. What an amazing guy. What did you know about him at the time?
Well, Mr. Gibbs was almost like a second father to me. And he did such a wonderful job of keeping the school together, even on times when Martin Luther King failed. He kept the people together at East High School. And today, we're still like a family. I mean, we see people from East High School. It's a family there at East. It's just not like alums or students. It's a family when you see each other. So at that time, even though we had problems in the world, Mr. Gibbs kept the students at East High School together. And no one really went off campus to do anything good or bad because of how he handled the situation with the kids or the classmates there.
The chapter, of course, Jack Gibbs appears throughout the story, inevitably, but you did devote one chapter to his life, Will Haygood. What set him apart?
Well, when he was young, his mother lost a child. She died. One of Jack Gibbs's sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And she was an infant. And he was haunted by that. He left Kentucky and moved here. And so in his mind, his little sister was left behind in Kentucky in a segregated cemetery. So I think in Gibbs's mind, when he looked at these students at East High School, he never wanted to lose one. And he never wanted to leave one behind.
Hmm.
And I think that really drove him. He worked after hours. He took money out of his own pocket to
right.
help students with clothing. He was driven. He was a man who was driven. He came from nothing. He had nothing. And his whole life was really about the kids, really about the students.
There is a great story, Ernie Lack, that Will tells in the book about how one kid was really getting loud in the stands one day or one night, and everyone thought he was going to get into trouble. And Mr. Gibbs walked up to him with a
A bullhorn.
A bullhorn, yeah. Thanks. Yeah. And they, everyone thought he was going to start yelling at him, and he handed him the bullhorn and said, get louder, do it louder.
Yeah.
I mean, he was very spirited. He was the embodiment of the spirit of the school in many ways.
Oh, absolutely. He kept us focused.
Right.
He kept us focused.
He ran a tight ship.
Absolutely. And back then, it was very, very important because, you know, you could drift off very, very easily with all the stuff that was going on. And most of us being right in the middle, middle of everything. So you could have drifted off in any direction and got off course and lose focus. But Mr. Gibbs kept us in line, almost like with military precision, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. You just heard from Ernest Locke, former key baseball player, star for the East High School in the year 1968-1969 when they won the state championship, along with the East High School basketball team. By phone, we have Ed Ratliff, former baseball and basketball player for East High School from that era, and Will Haygood, journalist and author. His new book is titled Tigerland, 1968, A City Divided, A Nation Torn Apart, and A Magical Season of Healing. We'd love to hear from East High School grads about, the legacy of that year and the legacy of the likes of Jack Gibbs and, of course, the basketball coach as well, Bob Hart, a remarkable man in his own right. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Ed Ratliff, talk about your coach, your basketball coach, and what he was like to work with.
Well, he was an easy man to work with, and we had a lot of talent. And the thing I tell people about Coach Hart was what makes him a great coach. He had talent that he did not overdo it. He didn't make you do things to try to make you because a lot of coaches overcoach, and he didn't. He let us play our game, and we had a great time. He made it fun for us out there. But yet he had discipline, and Coach Pinnell, the assistant coach, was right there with him, and that's how you learn. But Coach Hart was a guy that I remember him when I was in the eighth and ninth grade at Champions Junior High School. I could play at East High School because I really and I had a lot of respect for him.
Was East High School a destination for a lot of people? What you talked about how some of the kids, I can't remember if it was Ed Ratliff or Ernest Locke or who it was, that was headed to another high school and they moved.
Oh, well, that...
neither.
Yeah, not them.
But what was the allure of East High School at the time? Will Haygood?
Well, it was the one all-black high school in the city. And there was a whole lot of black pride there. It was a hip school. It was very cool.
Music during lunch hour.
At lunchtime, you know, there was soul music in the cafeteria. And the students had role models who were black. And they had a winning tradition. It was East High School. When I was a kid on the north side, and if East High School was playing at the Fairgrounds Coliseum, I would go and see and watch Nick Connor and Ed Ratliff and Roy Hickman. It was a joy to be a young kid and to see them run out onto the court with the band playing music. And they had these really cool white cotton basketball uniforms, the top and the bottom. Nobody else in the city had uniforms like theirs.
Like the warm-up? Or no, it was the actual uniform or the warm-ups?
Warm-ups.
Okay.
And there was also a feeling that they were going to win. I mean, they just had this cool cockiness about them. There was just the feeling that they were going to win. I mean, like, to see Ed Ratliff up close in person, it was like you were watching your hero.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, there's Ratliff, man. Wow. Ooh. He just made a deep jump shot. Oh man, here comes Roy Hickman. Oh my God, man. Did you see Hickman?
You guys were stars. I mean, it's what a thing, Ed Ratliff. How did that feel to be a role model when you were, you know, just 16 years old? 17 years old.
You know, you don't think about it as people look up to you. You just play hard. And at East High School, the thing I like best about our basketball team, we just wanted to win. It was not how many points you scored and who scored the most points.
Mm-hmm.
The thing we wanted to do is we wanted to win, and that's the only thing we went out for. And we're very close to each other, and we understand the situation with each other. And we had a lot of good things and bad things said about us when we went the other team to play.
Mm-hmm.
But when you hear at the end of the game where a fan would turn against you for you at the end, that was the nice part about it. We played on the road, and we got booed and talked about as we came on the floor. But by the time the end of the game, because the way we played, they were cheering for us and asking for autographs. So it was a good feeling to have that as a young player.
Yeah. Will Haygood.
And then there was also this. East High was on the east side of the city, which was, and it wasn't right, but there were other sectors of the city who looked down upon the east side.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you lift that up? How do you lift that stereotype up? You kick people's butt on the basketball court, on the baseball diamond.
Mm-hmm.
You watch Ed Ratliff throw 100 mile per hour pitches and smoking you. And then
nodding knowingly. Yeah.
Sit back. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, it's like that great cheer. I went down to the river. Oh, yeah. And I started to drown. Oh, yeah. I started thinking about them Tigers. Oh, yeah. And I came back around.
Right.
When I had that cheer, when I was writing this book across 4 years, I couldn't get that out of my mind because, in a way, the East Side was drowning. Martin Luther King Jr. had been lost. There were riots. OSU had shut down.
Right.
You know, the summer games, the 1968 Olympics had moved to the fall.
Yeah.
Mexico City. They were played in the fall because of riots in Mexico City. So the East High School students walking back in the classroom, they could talk about those games because they were being played right there in the fall on two black athletes who were protesting.
You told a really interesting story about Jack Gibbs and how he responded when he saw a high school kid. You called him Joe, I think.
Yeah.
Using the Black Power sign and at school and how he responded to that. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Jack Gibbs, he understood if you were hurting, you were black, and you didn't have any money at home and you saw this pain around you, but he did not want you to take a brick and walk down Mount Vernon Avenue or Long Street and throw it in somebody's business. He wanted you to use your mind to outthink all of these evil forces that were rising up around you. And, you know, the smart thing, too, about Gibbs is that, no, he did not want sports to be a be-all or end-all
mm-hmm.
in the school. But he knew that in a sports-mad nation like America, that his team had a cult following. I mean, people from Marion Franklin would want to see the East High Tigers play. People from Bexley would want to see the East High Tigers play because they were a phenomenal group of athletes. I mean, look, it's hard enough to win a city league title because also there also was Class A and Class AA. Class AA meant the largest high schools around the state. East High School had to slay those dragons from all corners of the state. All those players had to face in Dwight Lamar, Nick Connor, Larry Walker, Roy Hickman, and Eddie Rat Ratliff. And that, the night before a game, might very well give you nightmares.
And he wanted that kid to do something productive, and they said you hadn't earned the right to do what John Carlos did at the Olympics, that you have more to prove.
Yes.
Before you can do that. Ed Ratliff, I know we got to let you go. You got to catch a plane, but
he's coming to Columbus, by the way.
He's coming to Columbus. There's lots of events. We'll have a link to all the events associated with the open or the coming out of this book, Tigerland, 1968-69, A City Divided, A Nation Torn Apart in a Magical Season of Healing. But when you look on that, back on those days, Ed Ratliff, does it feel like a magical season?
Yeah, I always look back at it. And I said, once you're a Tiger, and the name of the book is absolutely perfect, Tigerland.
Yeah.
Once you're a Tiger, then you're a Tiger for life. And I'm going to tell you what, that's all you hear about. When I walk around, even in California, people walk up to me and tell me they saw me play basketball at East High School in high school. And that's all they talk about, how good we were. And I mean, it's like, it always brings great feelings to you, because that is East High School right there.
Well, thanks so much, Ed Ratliff, for joining us today. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ed. And I'll see you soon.
We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.
Ernest Locke, former baseball player for East High School. Tell us about the follow-up to the basketball season. Who would have imagined what was ahead?
I was a freshman, the only freshman that made the baseball team. And the rest of my teammates were upper class. Players, and I knew Eddie Ratliff was the starting pitcher the year before I got out of middle school, and I went out for the team. I had a strong arm and did very, very well in practices, and I guess the word got out to the other teammates. They were saying, got back to Eddie Ratliff and says, "Hey, there's a young guy, a little freshman over there. You need to hurry up your basketball season and get over here on the baseball team, because he's going to take your position as a pitcher." But it was really, really, it was really, really kind of comical in a way. I mean, you know, this 135-pound freshman coming in there, and you had all these seasoned players that had played 2-3 years before, and they, you know, had honed their skills, and I'm coming in sort of green, trying to figure out the ropes and stuff, and you know, did very, very well. And then, like I said, the word got back, and that tell Eddie he better get off the basketball court and get his baseball cleats on if he want a job. And and that's still sticking to my mind to this day. But Coach Pinnell, I guess he had a vision of what he wanted to do when he saw me. And of course, I'm a natural southpaw, and then you had a Eddie Ratliff. I mean, you know, he's a power pitcher, mm-hmm. and it was a great combination. He had a ace right hander and a an ace left-hander southpaw. Yeah. So that really helped us or launched us into the state championship.
You know, the game of baseball is very different from the game of basketball in terms of the speed. A lot of it gives the fans a lot of time to get into trouble. What was it like on those baseball fields in different districts that you went to when you traveled around the state?
Well, the further we went out over the state, I recall one game that we played. We were up north, way up north someplace, and I'm looking out in the stands, and I see this orange, one woman that was standing in the, or was sitting in the middle of the stand. She had on an orange and black Tigers, East High School Tiger jersey on, mm-hmm. and every time I remember throwing pitches, and every time I land, I would land looking straight at her, and that's what really kept me going. I mean, this one lone spectator, female spectator, and she made the trip up to see us play, and that's what really inspired me to keep on going. I was having a rough day that day in the beginning of the game, and then you know, once I start, like I said, seeing her or looking at her for some reason in the stands, you know, I start, you know, focusing on the game, and you know, I said to myself, I got to win this game for her. You know, so
Will Haygood.
Yes, that one fan happened to have been the coach. She was the coach's wife, Paul Pinnell's wife.
Okay.
Sharon Pinnell, who often would be the only Tiger fan at the games, away games, and she was relentless about supporting the team. It's a very poignant story.
Mm-hmm.
We lost her recently, but she loved the kids at East High School, and she would come to every away baseball game in support of her husband, Paul, and the team. It was just a beautiful story, which I tell in the book.
I think we have a quick question for you, Ernie Locke. Dennis in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Dennis.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I remember Nick Weatherspoon. Now, who did he play for?
He was at Canton McKinley.
Good memory.
Basketball player.
Canton McKinley. Do you remember him? Basketball player? Yeah.
Yes. Very good.
Okay. All right. Dennis, thanks for that call. I have to say goodbye to you, Ernest Locke. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ernest Locke, former star baseball player for East High School during the memorable 1968-1969 season, memorialized in a new book by Columbus native, prolific author, award-winning, critically acclaimed Will Haygood. The name of the book is Tigerland, 1968-1969, A City Divided, A Nation Torn Apart in a Magical Season of Healing. Coming up, we'll have more of Will Haygood, so stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7. NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about the school year of 1968-1969 in Columbus when the city's East High School took not one, but two state championships in baseball and basketball. And it was a year of national strife in an age still riddled with institutional segregation, tragic assassinations, and during an increasingly unpopular war that disproportionately cost the lives of the poor and African Americans. Journalist and author Will Haygood covered the story in his new book, Tigerland, 1968-1969, A City Divided, A Nation Torn Apart in a Magical Season of Healing. He's still with us. Will Haygood, A Magical Season of Healing. What did this season heal?
Well, it really was a lot of pain on the east side of the city from the loss of Martin Luther King Jr., and stores were firebombed on Long Street and on Mount Vernon Avenue, and because of all the pain. But when you see kids, youth, rising up and achieving against this sort of mayhem and this painful backdrop, it lifts everybody else up. It gave blacks and whites a reason to talk to each other on the bus or at the street corner or in the hallways of a school. Hey, look at what East is doing. Hey, and did you hear? East is going to the state championship in baseball. Wow, maybe maybe we ought to go see him play. I mean, and so it was a moment like great sports moments in this country. It forces people to throw away their hate and their anger because everybody likes to root for an underdog. And not that East was like a pure underdog, but they were discounted so often. They were discounted, and they didn't have new uniforms, and they didn't have school buses to take them to the games. Their baseball championship game tournaments were played at Ohio State University.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was confusing earlier, yeah.
Jack Gibbs went out to Mount Vernon Avenue and raised money from businessmen and businesswomen. And he said to them, look, I need to get the student body to Ohio State to see the baseball team play. And can you help me? And so $5 here and $10 there helped him rent several buses. When the players came out to play that championship game, they looked into the bleachers and they saw all a sea of orange. And some of them told me that they got tears in their eyes mm-hmm. because they had never seen so many East High Tiger fans at a baseball game. And I think that sort of poured extra heroism into the veins of their very bodies where they said to themselves, we are not going to lose this game. And they became champions.
What about the coverage? You mentioned there was the black newspaper that covered it, you know.
The local Column Post.
The local Column Post covered everything, and people were getting to see their names in the paper. The Columbus Dispatch, there were two newspapers, the Columbus Dispatch and the Columbus Citizen Journal. The Dispatch, though, was the morning paper that would be
right.
reporting the results of the games the day before.
Right.
How did it cover this amazing season?
Well, it was a sports story. And both newspapers had large sports
right.
sports readership. And so East High... East High forced any local newspaper to write about it because you have to write about the winners. And East High was winning. So they got good coverage in those papers. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact,
unusually good coverage.
Unusually good coverage. As a matter of fact, when I was sitting in front of a microfiche machine going through old newspapers. And I looked at the Dispatch, a newspaper that was delivered to my home as a 8, 9, 10-year-old kid. When I looked at the 1969, in addition, when they won the state championship basketball uh-huh. game and the day after, I had never seen so many black faces on the cover of that newspaper.
It was on the front page.
And it was above the fold.
Yeah.
It was like all of these black players. And it was just astonishing to see that. You know, they had sort of forced themselves onto page one. It was the page one story. It was the antidote to the other stories about the death of Malcolm X or the death of Medgar Evers or the death of Martin Luther King Jr. This was another above-the-fold story that involved blacks, and it was all about triumph. Top to bottom, it was about triumph. And it was a beautiful thing to see.
Norm in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Norm.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Mr. Haygood, thank you for writing this book. I'm going to buy a copy.
Thank you.
I think it's a wonderful story of human achievement. But I wanted to focus in on the African-American nature of the school and ask you, in your book, have you formed a thesis or have you come to a conclusion personally whether the blackness, the segregation forced upon the school, was that ultimately a net positive in a very strange and crazy way, but did it end up bringing the team and the coaches closer together in a way that perhaps a modern Afrocentric school might do? Or could this story have happened in a mixed high school the same way? I'm curious.
Please. Yes. Yeah. Norm, right?
Yep. Norm. Yeah.
Norm, that is a superb question. Here's what happened. And you had black teachers in the 50s and 60s, young teachers, and they had a whole lot of energy. And when they would go downtown to apply for a job, and they weren't sent to West or to North or to Northland, they would all have to vie for the job openings at East High School. So East High School, Norm, ended up with the cream of the crop of black teachers. And these teachers said to themselves, I'm going to pour everything that I have into these kids because it stops and ends right here. If I'm to send them out into this tough, vicious world, I want them to have talent and to have skills. And so, yes, there was a certain kind of passion with segregation because there was no other choice. And it really was, it was one school, one laboratory, sort of, and that was East. And there was genius at East High School for the simple fact that there was no place else for the sharp teachers to go. Sharp black teachers. And they stayed there 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and the teachers got better and better and better. And I think that's a very important point. So thank you.
There are events Wednesday at Lincoln Theater, Thursday at East High School, Friday at Columbus State Community College, Sunday at Bexley High School, and on into Dayton and across the state. Will Haygood, we will post a link to all of those on our website at WOSU.org. And in the meantime, Will Haygood, as always, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It was fabulous.
Will Haygood, journalist, author, his new book, Tigerland, 1968-1969, A City Divided, A Nation Torn Apart, and A Magical Season of Healing. Thanks so much for listening today. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.